ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Today, Ikhwani, we're going to begin a lesson, and inshallah, there's going to be another lesson that's going to follow this one, concerning a very important issue in the Aqidah and the Minhaj of every single Muslim, and it is an extremely dangerous issue that we find people having divergent paths as it relates to the issue. Some people going too far to the right, others too far to the left, and yet the other people remaining in the middle course. The Sirat al-Mustaqim, the way of the Sahaba. And that is the issue of at-Takfir. The issue of at-Takfir. And how do we understand the issue of at-Takfir? And when we hear the Arabic word at-Takfir, akhi, Samir, what is Takfir? What is Takfir? Naam, it is the crime that the Muslim makes when he says to or about another Muslim that he's a kafir. He sees another Muslim and he sees that the other Muslim is not as committed in what is apparent to him. He's not as committed as you are, or as you think you are. He's a person that falls into some of the dhunub, and they may be major sins. He openly commits fornication. He openly falls into the major crimes. And you're a person, you're trying to pray in the masjid, and you're trying to dress a certain way, you're trying to look a certain way. When you see this Muslim, and you see what he's doing or what he's not doing, a person allows the shaitan to come to him and he says, this guy, you're not no Muslim, you're a kafir. That is a takfir. Or a person says that another person is a kafir because he sees that that individual is doing a particular thing, a crime, a sin, that the religion has described as being kufr. That the religion has described as being kufr. And because of that crime that he's fallen into, the person says to him, you are a kafir. Whatever is the motivation that causes a person to say to another person that he's a kafir, you call this amaliyah, the amaliyah of a takfir, or making a takfir of the people. And like I said previously, like in all issues, people have divergent paths. There are those people who make takfir against the Muslim. That's too far one way. And then you have those people who don't free themselves from the kuffar. They don't even make the takfir of the kuffar. The kuffar in their eyes are Muslims. You have the people on the middle court, as we said, the people of the sunnah, and they are the people who pronounce takfir on the people who takfir should be pronounced on, and they hold back on pronouncing takfir on the people who takfir shouldn't be pronounced on, or on the people who we don't know if the takfir should be pronounced upon them. We have a tragedy that took place to show you the danger of the excesses that people go into, and that is, we have the best of our community, of our ummah, being the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are people who make takfir of them. So if the kalam, or if the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, if they're open game to the oppression of a takfir, then clearly other people can have the people oppress them by saying that they're outside of Islam. Another point along those lines is that the people who pronounce the takfir on the companions were very, very knowledgeable people. More knowledgeable than the people who are sitting here. because of the time, the era in which they lived, and because of the ibadah, or what they were exposed to at that particular time. So, as it relates to the issue of at-takfir, ikhwan, when we look at the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and we concentrate and we contemplate concerning those nusus, or those texts, those proofs that talk about at-takfir or kufr, we find two types of kufr being talked about. We find two types of kufr being talked about. The first type of kufr is the kufr, or the disbelief, that is connected to a person's belief. Kufr i'tiqadi, the kufr that is connected to what a person believes. When we see in the Quran or the Sunnah this particular kufr that Allah Ta'ala is talking about, or His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is not permissible for us to have any doubt that we have to pass the judgment of kufr on those people. The kufr of your aqidah is not permissible for anyone to be in doubt. Not permissible for anyone to be reluctant to pass kufr on the kufr that is kufr i'tiqadi, the kufr that's connected to a person's belief. For an example, ikhwan, you are a person who is mixed up if you don't understand that Fir'aun has the kufr of kufr i'tiqad. So we have to have no doubt that we say Fir'aun is a kafir. Iblis is a kafir. The munafiqun are kuffar. All of those people and Nasara, the Christians and the Yahud, we establish the kufr for them, because the kufr that's been established on them in the Quran and the Sunnah is the kufr that is connected to the aqidah, and it's not permissible to be reluctant or to have a second thought about this kufr. If you do, you're falling into a crime. Now, the other type of kufr, if we were to take the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we were to contemplate on all of those issues in which kufr are being talked about, the other type of kufr is the disbelief in which a particular deed is described as being kufr. A particular action is being described as kufr, whether that action is from a person's statement or what he does with his limbs. He may say a statement of disbelief, and the religion said this is disbelief. He may do an action of disbelief, and the religion says that this is disbelief. These are the two types of kufr that we're going to find in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And we have to be clued up about the distinction between the two. The first one, it's not permissible for you to doubt. Fir'aun is a kafir, Iblis is a kafir, the Nasara is a kufar, the Yahud are the kufar. And the second distinction for the second category is that we see that the action is kufr, the statement is kufr, but it does not necessitate that the doer of that thing is a kafir. Concerning the crime, ikhwan, akhi Bahir, Abu Ibrahim, Abdul Hakim, the crime of a takfir, before we even say that, we have to make it perfectly clear that the religion of Al-Islam, ikhwan, it came and it did a lot to protect all of our irv, or our honor. Everyone who is sitting here, his honor is sacred as it relates to the other people, and no one's honor is less sacred than the next man. How did Islam protect that? It prevented us from making accusations that this man is committing zina unless you bring some proof. So Islam protected the honor of everyone sitting here. When the Prophet made the Hajj sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the people that on this day your honor is haram like this day is haram, your money is haram like this particular day is haram, your city is haram, so forth and so on. So Islam came to protect our honor. Another thing that Islam came to protect was the respect that everybody has here. Al-Ihtiram. Islam came and it said we have to respect each other. When I come to your house, there's a particular chair that I shouldn't sit in unless I get permission from the owner of that house. That's the respect Islam gave to him. A man's wife comes and she wants to get a khula just like that, and her claim is that the brother has deserted me, and he may have deserted her. He got locked up, he went away, we don't know where he at. He has some honor in that. You can't just give that woman a khula just like that without reaching out to that brother and saying, I see that's what that sister's saying about you. And this is why, because he's the husband of that girl and he has a lot of respect, he has a lot of position. Even if he was oppressive and she was true, you can't just apply her the hukum just like that, without making an attempt, without proving, look, we tried to contact you. That's the ikhtiram of Islam. If Islam came to safeguard our respect and our dignity and our honor from the other people, then clearly Islam came to protect a man from being taken totally out of the religion of Islam. The thing that he holds most dear to him, period. More important than his respect, more important than his children, more important than his money, more important than everything he owns is what he believes in. So if Islam came to safeguard his respect and his honor, then clearly it came to safeguard a person coming to him and saying, you are outside of the realm or the fold of Islam. So Islam made a takfir and falling into the issue of a takfir, a kabira from the kabat, from the major sins that we have to stay away from. So now what we want to share with you are some of the proofs to clearly show the danger of a takfir and how the people of the past used to consider the issue of a takfir. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, and you brothers should write this back so you can go back to it, in ayat number 94 from Surah An-Nisa, قال الله سبحانه وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا ضربتم في سبيل الله فتبينوا ولا تقولوا لمن ألقى إليكم السلام لست مؤمنا تبتغون عرض الحياة الدنيا فعند الله مغانم كثيرة كذلك كنتم من قبل فمن الله عليكم فتبينوا إن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. This ayat is a tremendous ayat as it relates to understanding the issue of takfir. And it is a tremendous ayat as it relates to the importance of learning the Arabic language and how it's connected to the aqidah of the Muslim and the fiqh of understanding this religion of Islam. Allah Ta'ala said in this ayat in Surah An-Nisa, O you believe, if you are out in the earth fighting, fi sabilillah, you're out fighting these people, fi sabilillah, making jihad. Allah ordered here, fatabayyanu. He said, ascertain as to the truth. What's that? What's the word they use? Anyone have an English Quran? Verify. Oh, you believe, if you're out in the earth fighting fi sabilillah and you come upon the enemy and you're about to kill them and they're acting like they're Muslim, Allah Ta'ala said, verify. And do not say to the person who says to you, assalamu alaikum. Don't say to that person, you're not a believer. Seek and after the ever fleeing, perishable things of this dunya, for verily with Allah is the eternal reward. This was how you used to be until Allah bestowed His favors upon you. And then Allah said again, so therefore verify. He said a second time in the same ayat, so therefore verify, verily Allah is well acquainted with what you do. The reason why this ayat was revealed was that there were a group of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they went out on an expedition fi sabilillah. When they went out, there were a group of people who they didn't know to be Muslims. And those people were acting as if they were Muslims and they were making the statements of the Muslims. As-salamu alaykum. But because they weren't on the side of the Muslims, there was a shubaha. There was a doubt. There was an affair that was ambiguous. Are you guys really trying to play it off so that you can get us from the back or so that we won't get you? When that question mark was there, the companions took it in their own hands to kill him, to slay him. So Allah Ta'ala, after the Prophet got that news, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala revealed this ayah. If you people are out in the earth making jihad against the enemy, and there are a group of people who say to you, assalamu alaikum, don't say to them, you're not a mu'min. He establishes his kalima to tawheed. La ilaha illallah. Don't say to them, you're only saying that for this reason or that reason. It's not your business. Allah said in the ayah, ascertain, make sure before you kill him that he's really being killed for a justified reason. Allah went on in the same ayah to say, this was your condition before, so therefore verify. So he used the same word a second time in the same ayah to do what? To show emphasis of what? Not passing a judgment of kufr on someone who you don't have the clear proof against them. We're going to come to that, inshallah. Who said that? Abdul Hakim. So, Allah Ta'ala used the same word twice in the same ayah, ordered the believers to verify before you do what? before you pronounce a takfir on someone, if there is an iota of doubt concerning the issue, or if the issue isn't very clear, crystal clear, it's not permissible for any one of us to pronounce a takfir on any particular person. That's the first ayat, and the ayat was revealed because of the issue that we're talking about. Someone says, and what is apparent? I'm a Muslim. Assalamu alaikum. Don't say you're not a believer. That's the first dalil. The second dalil is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, in ayat number 6. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. O you who believe, if an evil person comes to you with some news, then verify the news. Ascertain as to the validity and the reality of the news. Unless you unknowingly will harm a group of people, and you'll be sorry for what you did. Again, ikhwan, the reason why the ayat was revealed helps us understand the danger of a takfir. There was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the name of Al-Walid ibn Uqba, radiallahu anhu. He was sent to a group of people to collect from them their zakat. In the times of Al-Jahiliyyah, his tribe and their tribe had personal problems. When he came to them, they turned from him, and he thought that they were having some kind of a conference or some sidebars in order to assassinate him. The shaitan's waswasa got the better of him. He went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, they renegated from Islam. They apostated. They're not practicing Islam anymore. They left Islam. They're kuffar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Khalid ibn Walid with the instructions, radiallahu anhu, of going to find out the reality of it. Verify this news. Ascertain as to the reality of the news. If you find it to be true, then kill them. Fight them. They're not giving up the zakat, they're kuffar. They left off something from the pillars of Islam. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu came to them at night time, and when he came at night, he heard the adhan. He sent out his spies. The spies saw them praying. The next day when Khalid went to them, Khalid found that the people were praying and acting as Muslims and holding on to the fundamentals of the religion. He went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this ayat was revealed. So in the revelation of this ayat, just like the ayat that was prior to it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the people to what? To verify. In the same incident, when Khalid ibn Walid came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told the Prophet about what he found, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah told him and us in this authentic hadith, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, he said, At-ta'anni min Allah wal-ajla min al-shaytan. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily taking it easy and not being in haste when you make the hukum, this is from Allah. And being in haste and moving very quickly, this is from a shaytan. Uqba, Al-Walid ibn Uqba, his affair was in haste. That was from shaytan, that hukum. As for Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu anhu, his affair was from Allah ta'ala, at-ta'anni. So again, the fact that he said that they were disbelievers and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't allow that hukum to stand, because we have been ordered to do what? We have been ordered to investigate the issue. The people said they were kuffar, but simply because what you see or what you hear is an action that you feel or you think is an action or a statement of kufr, that alone does not make the issue an issue of kufr. So that's the second dalil, ikhwan. And this issue is going to come up later, inshallah, when we deal with the conditions of a takfir and the things that prevent you from making a takfir, bi-idhnillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next dalil is also from Surah Al-Hujurat. It's also from Surah Al-Hujurat, and that's the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَلْمِذُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَذُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Allah ta'ala said in this ayat, and this is an extremely important ayat, as it has been understood by the people who gave it to fear of the Qur'an. Allah said in that surah, in this ayat, and do not call each other offensive nicknames. Do not call each other offensive nicknames. The ulama use this as dalil for what? Dalil to show the danger of a takfir. Why? How did they understand this ayat? This ayat can be understood in a number of ways. It is calling someone an offensive nickname. This is how they understood it. It's when the person was once a kafir and then he becomes a Muslim. And now in a state of argument or in a state of confrontation, a person uses an offensive nickname that is connected and it's a description of what he used to be. Like when Aisha said to Safiya, you Jew. To say to someone who used to be a Jew, you Yahudi, and they are Muslim. This is the meaning of وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not use offensive nicknames to each other. This is the first and foremost meaning of it. It can also mean don't call people bold head. Don't call people cow face. Don't call people these kind of names when we scorn on people like that. Don't call that. But the first level is don't call a person by the religion that he used to be on. To call him a Christian, to call him a Jew because he cheats, you Jew. And Imam At-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala, he brought all of the statements of the ulama of the past who used to say that this was the meaning of this particular ayah. Do not use offensive nicknames. It can also mean that a man or a woman was once known from amongst us that they fell into zina or some big crime or some big sin. Whenever one of us gets into an argument with them and we know that they made zina, we say to them, you fasiq, and he made tawbah. The man made tawbah. He fell into his crime 3 years ago. He made tawbah. His tawbah is between him and Allah. He may be better than all of us sitting here now. So because his crime was public knowledge, when one of us argues with him, we say, you fasiq, for some tawbah that he already made. So the intent here is that we understand not to make the Muslim responsible for some thing that he was on prior to coming to the truth, prior to coming to the deen, whether it is a religion or whether it is a particular characteristic. Not to say to someone, you are munafiq, you munafiq. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were people who were known as the munafiqeen. And then things took place and they came to Islam. They couldn't say to them when they got upset with them after that, you munafiq. We may know someone who's in a position that's similar to that. He used to be against the Dawlat al-Islamiyah. He used to be against the Muslims and the Dawlat of the Muslims. And then he became a Muslim. All right, we can't call him a munafiq after that. We can't call him a fasiq after he made tawbah ila akhir. But it also can mean don't call each other by offensive nicknames. It's calling our wives the B word. It's calling each other MFers. It's calling each other those other words in which people call other people outside of their name. But the first level is to call somebody by the religion that he used to be on. So, similar to it is what? The statement, you kafir. You kafir. Not permissible to use that statement, and that from the adilla that the ulama used. Also, ikhwani, from the adilla that it's used is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayat is also in Surah Al-Hujurat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in ayat number 12, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ يَرْحَمَكَ اللَّهُ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْصَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. قال الله تعالى, O you who believe, stay away and shun a lot of speculation. For verily there is some speculation that is a crime, that is a sin. And do not spy on each other. And do not backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the meat, the dead flesh of his brother? No, in fact, you detest that. You hate it. So therefore, fear Allah. Verily, Allah is Tawwab. And Allah Ta'ala is Rahim. Here, the point that's used and understood from the ayat is that Allah Ta'ala has made it haram for us to have su'adhan, to have a bad opinion about a Muslim. To have su'adhan, not husnadhan. No, he didn't do it. I don't believe it. You gotta prove it to me. The ayat is making it haram to have su'adhan. So, the su'adhan is the worst opinion possible. It's the worst opinion. It's a bad opinion. Now, out of the bad opinions that you can think about someone, one of the worst of the bad opinions is to think or to have su'adhan about the man's Islam or about the man's kufr. Verily, much of this dhan, this speculation, is a sin. Su'adhan. To think that he did the crime, to think that he said the statement, that's bad. Su'adhan. But one of the worst issues to have su'adhan is, I have a bad opinion about whether or not you are Muslim in the first place. So that's the point of proof from this particular ayah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning the Muslims of having su'adhan about the Muslim and his deen. Similar to it, Ikhwan, just to put some tanbih, to pull your coat to this issue is, not only a takfir, but also saying that someone is a mubtadi' is the same way. It's the same way. That a person does not deserve to be described as being a mubtadi'. People are calling the Shaykh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini that he is a mubtadi', and they really don't know the details of what's being said about him and why it's being said. So the Muslim has to be careful. Okay, the Shaykh Usama al-Qusi, he criticized the Shaykh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini. Most of us don't know the details, number one. And never did the Shaykh ever say he was a mubtadi'. So now when we grab onto it, and when we start to import these problems, we go a step further and we say, he's a mubtadi'. Who said that before you? Where you get that from? Just going overboard. And now we are involved and engrossed with these other issues at the expense of what we should be doing that's more important than that, and that is rectifying our own selves. So to pronounce a takfir on someone is from the su'adhan, and it is not permissible. A similar ayat to this that also can be used is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. And do not stop. Do not say anything about something you don't have knowledge about. This one is a kafir. This is a mubtadi'. For verily, the hearing, the sight, and the heart, all of that is going to be questioned يوم القيامة إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى. So Ikhwan, we just want to wrap that up as it relates to the Quran. Those are from the main adilla that the people have to have a tasabbut. Now we've been ordered religiously to have a tasabbut, and what is a tasabbut again? What is it? Verification, to be established in our ruling. We have to have a tasabbut in some issues more than other issues. For an example, you have to have a tasabbut when you're narrating the Quran. When you say, Qala Allah, you have to say what Allah said. When you're quoting the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Qala Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you have to say what he said. He says, صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْهِ الْكَذِبُ عَلَيَّ لَيْسَ كَكَذِبٍ عَلَى أَهَدٍ. Lying on me is not like lying on someone else, whether you meant it or you didn't mean it. So you have to have tathabbut in saying the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another example of what you have to have a tathabbut in, seriously, is you have to have a tathabbut when you're trying to establish the lineage of someone. That's an issue you have to be serious about, and you have to have tasabbut. When you say so-and-so is such and such his mother or his father or his brother or his sister, because that hukum, what's going to come as a result of that, is other ahkam. You gotta have a tasabbut seriously in this. Another example is accusing someone of zina. You gotta have some tasabbut. Those are examples of serious issues. The sister, simply because her husband comes in late, simply because she found a number that she went into his pocket and took out. simply because she dialed *69 and another lady picked up the phone and then hung up the phone on her. Simply because people calling her house hanging up the phone. All of those issues is not tasabbut. All of that is shirk. You can't have su'adhan. If you're going to accuse someone of zina, you have to have a tasabbut. So what's an example of a tasabbut where it's serious? Another example of that is saying that someone is a kafir. That's why I put all of those prior to this. When we hear the three examples, at-tathabbut when it says, قال الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. At-tathabbut when connecting people's lineage. At-tathabbut when accusing people of making zina. Wallahi, having at-tathabbut when you're pronouncing takfir is no less than those things. Just as important, right up there. Before you say so-and-so is a kafir, akhi, you better have some tasabbut. And if you're not a person who has a tasabbut, as the brother Ubaydullah said last week in the khutbah, then there's something wrong with your iman. There's something wrong with you if you don't have the fear of saying what the religion told you. Be careful about this particular issue. It's easy on your tongue. And this is what we found the people who are given to us takfir. We find that they say these statements of takfir and they roll effortlessly, easily off the tongue. It's not a statement that's being said with a taqwa. It's not being said with ilm. It's not being said with any wara, with any tahaffuz, any tathabbut. It's just emotional. People getting beside themselves. As for the sunnah, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have a lot of examples. We'll only do a few, like the hadith that Imam Muslim narrated. He brought it on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. That the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا كَفَّرَ الرَّجُلُ أَخَاهُ فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهَا أَحَدُهُمَا. Sahih Muslim. If a man says to his brother, Ya kafir, that word is going to fall on one of them. Another variation of this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. On the authority of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. That the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَرْمِي رَجُلٌ رَجُلٍ بِالْفُسُوقِ وَلَا يَرْمِيهِ بِالْكُفْرِ إِذَا ارْتَدَّتْ عَلَيْهِ إِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ صَاحِبُهُ كَذَلِكَ. He said, no man accuses his brother of fisq, nor does he accuse him of kufr, except that that accusation in both cases, fisq or kufr, it will come back on him if it wasn't true what he was saying about his companion. In another hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, on the authority of Thabit ibn al-Dahhaq, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ لَعَنَ مُؤْمِنًا فَهُوَ كَقَتْلِهِ وَمَنْ قَذَفَ مُؤْمِنًا بِكُفَرْ فَهُوَ كَقَتْلِهِ. Whoever curses a Muslim by saying, لَعْنَةُ عَلَيْكَ. Whoever curses a Muslim, it is like killing him. And whoever accuses him of being a kafir, it is like also killing him. So all of those are examples of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that show the danger of saying someone is a kafir who's not a kafir. Now I want you to understand this. Why is he called a kafir? First of all, him being called a kafir doesn't mean that he's outside of the religion of Islam. It means that, as we said, when we look at the kufr of the Quran and the sunnah, we're going to find two types of kufr. The first type of kufr is the kufr that's connected to the aqidah, to the belief. The kufr of Fir'aun, the Christians, the Jews, the munafiqeen. That kufr, we have no doubt about saying you were kafir. The second type of kufr is the kufr of the actions, the kufr of the statement. This is a kufr of the statement. To say to a brother who's not a Muslim, you're a kafir. So if he's not a kafir, it comes back to you. And even though it comes back to you, what comes back to you? A takfir. That takfir that you made comes back to you. That statement of kufr comes back to you. But it doesn't mean that the person is a kafir. Now what is the meaning of that? What is the meaning that when you say to someone, you kafir, and it comes back to you? What's the tafsir of that? What's the explanation? Why did the Messenger of Allah say that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do you understand it? You understand it two ways, ikhwan. And it's important that you comprehend it. You understand it two ways. The first way that you understand it is that when a person said to the brother Abdul Rahim, you kafir,
Abdul Rahim is not a kafir. He's making the salah. His iman is between him and Allah. And wallahi, he's a believer. Inshallah, he's a Muslim. And he knows he's a Muslim. So, the reality of the statement is with Allah. And it's with Abdul Rahim. He knows he's a believer. This one doesn't know. He says, you kafir. All right, according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that statement comes back on him. Why? Because no one says that a Muslim is a kafir except a kafir. When you go to your mother, she tells you, you're not going to paradise because you haven't taken Isa ibn Maryam as Allah. You're a kafir. You don't believe. The kafir is the one who says to the believer, you're a kafir. The Muslim would never say to the believer, you're a kafir, because he knows what the religion says about that. So only the kuffar say to the believers, you're a kafir. So that's why the statement came back on you. You're making the statement of the people who are kuffar. When you say to a person, you're a kafir, and he's not a kafir, that's what the kuffar say. So therefore, that kufr is on you. That's one way that we understand it. You understand? A believer would not say to another believer, ya akhi, you're a kafir. Especially after he knows that Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُولِ لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا. Don't say to someone who gives you the salam, you're not a believer. Not a person knows those ayat and those ahadith, and he comes and say, look, you a kafir. No, no one says that statement except the kuffar, so therefore you have to wear that hat. That's one understanding of it. The second understanding of it, the meaning of saying you kafir and that statement coming back to him, and why? Is because when the person says to another person, you kafir, that is a statement of kufr, because this man is a Muslim. I say to him, you kafir. So what am I saying in essence? This religion that you're on, Ubaydullah, Islam, is kufr. And if I said that Islam is kufr, that's a statement of what? Kufr. This man is a Muslim. He has no doubt he's a Muslim. I say to him, you're a kafir. His religion is Islam. So I'm saying the religion of Islam is kufr. So therefore, this statement of mine is kufr. So it is not on him, because he's a real Muslim. Now that statement comes back to you. Because you are looking at the religion of Islam as being a religion of disbelief. And that's outlandish. That's outrageous. No one would do that. You understand that point, Ali? Aliyan. So now when we find a person like Faithful over in England, simply because the person doesn't agree with you, you get upset and you start pronouncing people as kuffar. Sheikh Ibn Baz is a kafir. Sheikh Al-Albani is a kafir. Everyone is a kafir except you, simply because they don't agree with you. Alright? Allah knows the reality of that statement. I'm a mu'min, insha'Allah. I'm a mu'min, insha'Allah. So when you say that I'm a kafir, you are recognizing that the religion that I recognize as being the deen al-haq, you recognize it as being the deen of kufr, the deen of what is batil. Alright? So that statement of kafir goes back to you. But as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, the people of Ahl Sunnah are the most knowledgeable people about the religion, and they're the most merciful people to the creation. So, even though that statement of kufr goes back to him, you won't find the people of kufr, the people of Islam, the people of the Sunnah, throwing that man outside of Al-Islam. But wallahi, ikhwan, this kalima of kufr is a big issue. So that's why that word comes back to you, because you have to be careful of what you're saying. And this is the explanation of Al-Imam An-Nawawi, who gave the explanation of Sahih Muslim. He said, whether the person understands that he's saying Islam is a deen of kufr, whether he meant it or not, that's the meaning of his statement, so it comes back to you. Nasal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-afiyah wa salam. There are other adilla ikhwan from the sunnah, but now we want to give you an example of the statements of the people of the past. The statements of the people of the past, the righteous predecessors of this ummah. Al-Imam Abu Ya'la rahimahullah ta'ala and Al-Imam Al-Tabarani in his book Al-Kabir, Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, They brought the narration in which a man came to Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu anhu. The Tabi'i said to Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, one of the six major scholars, one of the six people who narrated the majority of the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was an imam of Ahl al-Hadith during the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked him, the man asked Jabir ibn Abdullah, هل كنتم تدعون أحد من أهل القبلة مشركا؟ قال معاذ الله ففزع لذلك ثم قال هل كنتم تدعون أحد منهم كافرا؟ قال لا. This man asked them, did you, the companions, did y'all used to call anyone from the Qibla a mushrik? He said, معاذ الله. Like saying, أعوذ بالله. I seek refuge in Allah from that. We didn't do that. He said, did you used to call anyone from the Qibla a kafir? He said, no. We used to do that. If you from this Qibla, Mayan Bucky, Mayan Jews, not permissible. We pray on them, even if they fall into the Qabair. And we guard our tongue from them as it relates to the issue of kufr. So here we have a clear proof from the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith has the hukum of al-rafa, even though it's not from the Messenger of Allah. Anytime sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the companions say, we used to do this, we used to do that, this is what we were prevented from, this is how we understood, then that means that's a thing that they were upon. So the man from the Tabi asked Jabir radiallahu anhu, did you people used to do this? Not you, Jabir. Maybe if it was just Jabir, we could still use it as a delil, because Jabir is a scholar from the scholars. But he said, هل كنتم تدعون أحد من أهل القبلة مشركا؟ Did you people used to call someone from this Qibla a mushrik? معاذ الله. هل كنتم تدعون أحد بأنه كافر؟ قال لا. So that's what the companions were upon, and this is what is ijma', or the consensus of the companions was upon this issue. Not to make taksir of a person from the Qibla, from the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. From the statements, and there are too many statements, ikhwan, too many statements, is the other hadith that has been brought by al-Imam al-Haythami, in which he said that one of the tabi'i by the name of Yazid al-Raqashi, he said to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, Ya Aba Hamza, أَنَّ النَّاسَ يَشْهَدُونَ عَلَيْنَا بِالْكُفْرِ وَالشِّرْكِ قَالَ أُولَٰئِكَ شَرُّ الْخَلْقِ وَالْخَلِيقَةِ. This man Yazid al-Raqashi, he came to Anas ibn Malik and he said, there are some people who are saying that we are kuffar, and we're mushrikun, that we have kufr and shirk. When he heard that, he said, those people are the worst of the creation, and they have the worst akhlaq. They got the worst character. Those people must not understand the danger of what they're saying. That's from the akhlaq that's not nice. The terrible akhlaq, like the zani, like the kadhib, like the sadiq, like the sharib al-khamr. That's how he is. He doesn't have any care and concern about his deen. Let me make it clear. This man, Yazid al-Raqashi, he's from the Tabi'een, and the majority of the ulama of al-Hadith have made him da'if in this hukum. But Ibn Adi, who's one of the main scholars of al-Hadith, he said that he was thiqa. He said, in his narrations concerning Anas ibn Malik, his narrations are good. This is a narration on Anas ibn Malik, and it's not a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even though there's some da'af in him, it's not an issue that you hold on to like if it was the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because clearly he has some problems. This is a narration that he has on Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. So from the danger, ikhwan, of a takfir, is that a takfir is an issue that is for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's for Allah, it is a ruling, it is a hukum from al-Islam. And we have to be careful. Al-Imam Ahmed has some beautiful statements, but the last statement that we want to share with you is the statement of Al-Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said,
in his book Al-Iqtisad fi Al-Iqtiqad, والذي ينبغي أن يميل المحصل إليه الاحتراز من التكفير ما وجد إليه سبيلا فإن استباحة الدماء والأموال من المصلين إلى القبلة المصرحين بقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله خطأ والخطأ في ترك 1000 كافر في الحياة أعون من الخطأ في سفك محجمة من دم مصر. Listen to the statement of Al-Imam Al-Ghazali, and it shows the fiqh and the rahmah of the ulama who really understand. And Al-Imam Al-Ghazali, he has some problems, but this is definitely from the kalimah, that's the truth. He said, as it relates to a takfir, listen to this statement. He said, what the serious person has to lean towards and what he has to know is, he has to be very careful and reluctant when it comes to the issue of takfir, and stay away from it and pronouncing it every time he finds the opportunity. For verily, making people's blood halal and their monies halal, especially the people who pray towards the Qibla, the people who say La ilaha illallah, it is a tremendous crime. Listen to this. He said, it is a mistake that I tell you to leave 1,000 true kafirs alive unjustly, because we don't know their reality. To leave 1,000 of them alive, because we don't know should they be killed. We leave 1,000 alive, that is easier and less in sin than to kill and spread the blood unjustly of one Muslim. So what's the meaning of the statement? The meaning of the statement is, there may be 1,000 people who may deserve to be killed because of their kufr, but there's some doubt about their Islam. So we're not going to kill them because of the doubt. But in actuality, they're really kuffar. But we're leaving them alone out of fear. He said to leave 1,000 of them who deserve to be killed, leaving them alive, 1,000 of them, that is less than killing one Muslim unjustly because you say he's a kafir. And he wasn't a kafir. You guys understand the point? So it's a clear proof of what? It's a clear proof that the worst Muslim is better than the best kafir. And it's a clear proof of the Muslim has to be a person who is cognizant of the danger of spreading the blood of the Muslim unjustly. And as those scholars used to say, and they used to warn about a takfir, once a group of people start making takfir, the next thing that comes after takfir is what? The what? Yes, the sword. After they make takfir, the next issue is their blood is halal. We're at war with them. And that happened from a long time ago, and it's still happening right now, even with people with Salafi. Once people start pronouncing takfir on other people, their blood next is halal. They start to look at the blood of those individuals as being less precious in their eyes. So it's mayam bagi. It is an affair that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is only with Allah. Another reason that it is dangerous is because the issue of takfir, the reality of it is, when you look at the Quran, when Allah Ta'ala talks about those people who leave their religion, and all of the ayat that talk about people who are apostate, Allah always mentioned the issue of they apostated at death. He just didn't say apostated, but he brought the emphasis to say that they apostated, those people who changed their religion and then they die as disbelievers. All of the ayahs that talk like that, all of them, they mention the death. Why? Because it's an issue that only Allah Ta'ala knows the reality of it. There are a lot of ayahs like that. We'll share these ayahs with you, and there are a lot of them, just so that, inshallah, you can go and you can take a look at them. For an example, the statement of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat number 217, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدْ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ دِينِهِ فيموت وهو كافر فأولئك حبطت أعمالهم في الدنيا والآخرة. Allah Ta'ala said, and those people who apostate from their religion and they die like that, then they are the kuffar. And he is a kafir, they are the ones who their actions will be rendered null and void in the dunya. Another example of that is Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat number 161. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ أولئك عليهم لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين.
Verily, those people disbelieve and they die while being disbelievers. He always mentions the death all the time. He just doesn't leave it. Those people who die, those people who renegade, they leave their religion, and they die like that. To show us an issue that is going to be only known by Allah Ta'ala at the person's death. You have to be careful with the issue. Too many ayat are like this for us to neglect to see that there's some wisdom in that. There's the statement of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah Muhammad, ayat number 34. قال الله تعالى إن الذين كفروا وصدوا عن سبيل الله ثم ماتوا وهم كفار فلن يغفر الله لهم. Those people who die, those people who disbelieve and they prevent people from coming from the ways of Allah, and then they die while they are kufar, Allah will never forgive those people. In another ayat, إن الذين كفروا وماتوا وهم كفار فلن يقبلوا من أحدهم ملء الأرض ذهبا ولو افتدى به. Verily, those people who disbelieve and they die while they are kuffar, nothing will be accepted from them, even if they gave the whole earth in gold as a ransom. It won't be accepted for them. Another ayah is a statement of Allah Ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 18. وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ وَلَلَّذِينَ يَمُوتُونَ وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمًا. And Tawbah is not for anyone, is not for the one who does evil and then death comes to him. And then he say, I make Tawbah now. Nor is Tawbah for the ones who die and they are kuffar. They are the ones who will prepare an evil punishment for. So what's the point from those ayahs? What's the point from those many ayahs? The point from the ayah is over and over and over and over again, Allah, just like the issue of a tabayyinu, He continuously makes the emphasis about the condition of the people. The issue of a takfir is known to Allah Ta'ala. The hukum of a takfir is for Allah and His Messenger. And people cannot approach it except if they have some clear proof. InshaAllah Ta'ala, next week we're going to do some more issues. Bi'idhnillah, dealing with the sharut of a takfir and dealing with the mawani of a takfir, and how the Salaf used to deal with this particular issue. So, in today's lesson, we talked about what? The dalil, to stay away from takfir, or the danger of a takfir, the types of kufr that we find the Quran talking about, and what the companions were on as it relates to the issue of a takfir. If you brothers have any questions concerning that, inshallah, falyatafaddal. But, Akhi Abdul Qawi, tafaddal. The question is, as it respects to the literal names like Kafir and Fatih, the differences between the two. What about the word Aduwallah, calling the believer Aduwallah? There is a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used Aduwallah in the place of Ya Kafir. He said, whoever says to his brother, Ya Aduwallah, it goes on his brother or it comes back to him. So Aduwallah is tantamount and is equal to Ya Kafir. Ya Kafir. Because no one is an enemy of Allah except that the person is a disbeliever. So the same tafsir is applied to understanding Aduwallah. He's Aduwallah. Why? Because no one will call a believer Ya Aduwallah except the Kafir or Aduwallah. Only the Aduwallah is going to call a believer Aduwallah. A Kafir. And the other understanding is, he is saying, you, Akhi Shakil, you are in the religion of Islam. Your name is Shakil, you fast in Ramadan, you come to Salat al-Fajr, you make halal is halal, haram is haram. You are Aduwallah. Alright, the religion that you are upon, you are Aduwallah because of that religion. Alright, and you are Aduwallah for looking at the religion of Islam as being the religion of the enemies of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Now, Abu Ibrahim. As for the issue of a takfir, would you say someone is a disbeliever? There's a difference between a takfir and the word at-tahdir. From hazzara, at-tahdir means to warn about people. There's a difference. First of all, let me make it perfectly clear. It's wajib for us to make takfir. But which takfir, ikhwan? He talked about two takfir. Which takfir is wajib? The takfir that is the takfir of the aqidah. The one that we said is not permissible to have any doubt, to be reluctant. Fir'aun is a kafir. Louis Farrakhan, you a kafir. I don't care what you say. The munafiqun, the kuffar. You can't have it. To be reluctant in this is kufr. So, a takfir and a tahzir is wajib. Wajib. You gotta warn and you gotta make takfir. But the issue here with takfir is not making takfir when you don't have the kufr bawahin. The clear kufr. As the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as they don't show you the clear kufr, that you'll have an argument with Allah, yawm al-qiyamah. When you want to fight against these leaders, don't do it unless you have a clear kufr. Clear that you're going to be able to have an argument with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah. So we warn, is wajib, is from the Amr bin Ma'ruf and the Nahi al-Munkar, and we make takfir. But the takfir of the Muslim who's drinking, the takfir of the Muslim who we don't know, there's a small shubaha. You stay away from the takfir. Don't make it. Because as Imam al-Ghazali said, to leave a thousand kafirs on the face of the earth out of fear that you may be making a mistake, that is less of a crime than to kill one Muslim unjustly who didn't deserve to be killed under the pretense that he was a kafir. Naam, akhi.
عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. This past week, brothers and sisters, in our Aqidah class, we gave a talk or a class about a very important issue. And that is an issue that is connected to the minhaj of al-Islam, the proper minhaj. That every single Muslim man and every single Muslim woman should come to know about. And this is an issue that people in this masjid right now are dealing with. In the way that other people look at us and the way that other people deal with us. So we want to enlighten all of you and to warn you about falling into this snake pit. And any time we are upon an aqidah or an issue in aqidah or the minhaj of al-Islam that is in contradiction to what the Prophet brought, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then clearly we're going to have some problems. And many times, like in this case, it can lead to bloodshed. Because part of this deviation is that what comes necessarily after being on the scene is that there's going to be some bloodshed. There's going to be some clashes. And that is the fitna of making takfir against other Muslims. The fitna of calling another Muslim a kafir for whatever reason. But if we were to look at the people who make takfir and who pronounce al-kufr on a Muslim, we'll find them of two types. The first type of person who will say that another Muslim is a kafir is the one who sees the other Muslim as being in contradiction to what he is upon. He's in one jama'ah, and the Muslim who he's saying is a kafir is against him and against his jama'ah. And as a result of that, his oppression and his hizbiyah, it causes him to pronounce takfir on the other person. And in actuality, this is closer to the behavior of the hypocrites than it is to al-Islam. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam gave us a description of the munafiqeen, he said that their descriptions were three. And then in another narration, he said that they were four. And one of the descriptions of the munafiq is, as he said, sallallahu wa sallamu alayhi, idha khasama fajra. The munafiq is the person who, whenever he has a discussion, whenever he is in contradiction with you, whenever you're debating and he's upset with you, he starts to call you by abusive names. He starts to use profanity, or he starts to hurl at you names that are not necessarily a description. So when the Muslim is in contradiction to another Muslim because of his aqidah, because of his jama'ah, because of his masjid, and as a result of that he says, you kafir, in essence, he's closer to the munafiqeen in his behavior than he is to the Muslim. We find from the deviant sects today who are doing this are those people who want to connect themselves to the beautiful institution of al-jihad. In order to make jihad, they want to pronounce kufr on everyone, to open up the door to shed blood after that. Another example of that are those people who ascribe and they connect themselves to the Jama'at of the Ahbash, who are here in Philadelphia right now, who say they can't pray with us because we're not facing the Qibla. And when we start to discuss with them, as it took place just the other day, and you start to establish what Allah established about himself in the Qur'an, and what the Prophet established, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about Allah in the Qur'an, you will find that those people are going to say, you are a kafir. Allah Ta'ala has made this haram on the believers to pronounce takfir on another Muslim, especially for this kind of reason. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الْإِثْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah Ta'ala said to the believers, and do not defame each other. You people who are in Islam, do not defame. Do not go around trying to assassinate each other's character. Even the sister, when she has a problem with the husband and she has to raise her issue to the authority, she has to do her best not to say what's not necessary. If the issue is about the brother doesn't take care of her, then let her leave it on that. She doesn't have to mention all of the other issues. Do not defame each other, nor call each other by offensive nicknames. What a terrible sin it is to call a Muslim by an offensive nickname after al-Islam. And whoever doesn't make tawbah, they are the ones who are oppressive. The meaning of this ayat, do not call each other offensive nicknames. Those of you who are reading the Noble Quran, in the parentheses, when you go back to read the translation, the Sheikh Muhsin Khan, he brings that, the meaning of it is, do not call a Muslim after he has accepted Islam by the religion that he was on prior to al-Islam. The mother of the believer, Safiya, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had a disagreement and a misunderstanding with our mother Aisha. Aisha became upset with her and she said, "You Jew, it's not to do that. That's the meaning of the ayah. Do not call each other by offensive nicknames that you had prior to al-Islam." So this is a clear proof that shows that the Muslim, if he is in contradiction with the Muslim, it's not permissible for that reason alone to pronounce takfir on him. The other reason why people say that a Muslim is a kafir is that we find those people, they are a people who see the Muslim transgressing the limit or openly sinning. He is a person who's committed to al-Islam. He comes to the Jummah and he's fasting Ramadan and he tries to give zakat and she's wearing the hijab and they're trying to be Muslim. So they walk up Germantown Avenue and they see a group of shabab, young people hanging out on the corner, smoking blunt. Or it is the daughter or the son of one of us, the older brothers and sisters. They have a son or a daughter who grew up as Muslim, but the girl is not wearing hijab. The boy is not praying. For whatever reason, they're not holding on to al-Islam. But if you were to come to them and you were to ask them, "Are you a Jew?" They'll say, "No." "Are you a Christian?" They'll say, "No." Their iman is in their heart. So the person pronounces takfir on them because he himself sees himself as being religious, and they see that person as being irreligious. So when they see them doing those types of behavior, transgressing the limits that have been ordained by Allah, the religious Muslim says to that person who's not religious, "You are a kafir." This is a major crime in the religion. Whatever the reason is and whatever the motivation is that will cause a person to say this, whatever the case is, he is not from your Jama'ah, or you see someone doing evil, it's not permissible for the Muslim to call another Muslim a kafir without having proof in this religion. So the danger of making takfir against another Muslim has been clearly illustrated to us in the book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were a group of companions who were out on an expedition and they went to get the enemy or the foe. When they arrived to the place where the enemy was, there were another group of people who were not with the enemy, but they weren't with the Muslims neither. So those people saw that the Muslims were getting ready to get them. So they said to the Muslims, "Assalamu alaikum." The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You people are just saying assalamu alaikum so that we don't kill you like we're going to kill these other people." And they killed them. Allah ta'ala revealed upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the statement, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha darabtum fil ard fi sabilillahi fatabayyanu وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ أَلْقَى إِلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامَ لَسْتَ مُؤْمِنًا." Oh, you believe if you're traveling through the earth, you're traveling through the earth making jihad, then ascertain as to who the people are. And if a group of people come to you and they say, "Assalamu alaikum," don't say to them, "You are not a Muslim." So now that helps us to understand, whenever one of us sees a person and you do not see any effects or any characteristics that he's a Muslim, if he gives you the salam and you don't know that person, this ayat of the Quran in this incident makes it obligatory upon you just to relay the salam. Usam ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu was also participating in the jihad. He overcame his enemy and knocked him on the ground. Before he stabbed him and killed him, the man said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," and he killed him anyway. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about that, he asked Usama, "Ya Usama, ماذا تفعل بلا إله إلا الله يوم القيامة?" What are you going to do with this statement of accepting Islam يوم القيامة, لا إله إلا الله, when he stands with you in front of Allah? And he said that you killed him after saying La ilaha illallah. He said, "Messenger of Allah," he only said it because he knew that I was about to kill a man. He said, "What are you going to do with that statement, Yawm al-Qiyamah?" So even if the person sees that the other person has those characteristics, it's not permissible. Also, the companion of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Thabit ibn al-Dahhak, radiyallahu anhu, he told us in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Man qadhafa mu'minan bi kufrin, fa huwa ka katlihi." Whoever accuses a believer of being a non-Muslim, whoever pronounces takfir on a Muslim, on a believer, it is similar to killing him. And the sin of killing another Muslim is great. So that alone shows us the importance of it. But there's another hadith that the one who says this statement, he has to be careful about. He has to be careful about the oppression that he's fallen into. And that is what Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma brought us in the authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam Muslim. That the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا كَفَّرَ الرَّجُلُ أَخَاهُ فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهَا أَهَدُهُمَا. If a man says to his brother, if one man says to his Muslim brother, "Oh, you kafir, oh, you disbelieving man," then that statement is going to come back to one of them. If he is in fact a kafir, if he is in fact a disbeliever, then your statement is appropriate and there's no harm. But if your statement is not appropriate and it's not true, then that statement of yours is going to come right back to you, and you've made takfir of your own self. You are the one who's a kafir. So what is the meaning of "you are the kafir"? Does it mean that if a person says to another Muslim, "You kafir," the brother says to him, and he knows that he's a believer, "You are a kafir"? Now does that give him the right and the authority based upon this authentic hadith to say, "I know that I'm not a kafir, so in actuality I'm going to look at you as the kafir because the text said that you were a kafir"? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that that statement of yours is an action of kufr. That statement of yours is a statement of disbelief. To call the Muslim a kafir is a statement of disbelief. There are many actions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described as actions of disbelief, statements of disbelief. If you said to someone, "Masha'Allah" was shit, it is as Allah willed, and you made a statement of disbelief. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat, faman tarakaha faqad kafara." The difference between us and the disbelievers is the prayer. So any Muslim who leaves off the prayer, he has disbelieved. If the person falls into these issues, he's doing a sin that is a sin of kufr. And it's a great sin, but it doesn't put him outside of the fold of Al-Islam. So how do we understand if a man said to another man, "You kafir," and he's not a kafir? We understand it two ways. What is the meaning that the statement comes back to him? We said that it doesn't mean that this person is outside of the religion. But what it means is that the religion has made him a kafir because, number one, when he calls another Muslim a kafir, he is resembling the kuffar in that statement. When those people who are Jehovah Witnesses, when they come to our home, if you were to ask one of those people, or any Christian for that matter, or any Jew, if you were to ask them, "Look, I'm a Muslim. Do you consider me to be a person who is from the believers?" They'll say, "No, you're a disbeliever. You're a kafir." So no one will make the takfir of the Muslim except a kafir. The Christian is the one who will say to a Muslim, "You are not a believer." So that's what it means if he says, "You kafir," it comes back to him because he's resembling the statement of the kuffar. Another way that we understand it is that, as Al-Imam An-Nawawi said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in explaining this hadith, whenever a person says to another Muslim that you are a kafir, and that man who he's saying this to is really on the religion, when he says to him, "You are a kafir," it is as if this man looks at the religion of Al-Islam as being the religion of disbelief. He's a Muslim, he's on Islam, and I'm saying you are a kafir, so therefore I believe. If you're on the religion of Al-Islam, you are a disbeliever. And that statement in and of itself is a statement of disbelief. So we want to warn you, brothers, in dealing with those people of the Ahbash, we say that, first of all, there is another Minhaji issue that we have to be cognizant of. And if we stay inside of the realm of holding on to these Minhaji issues, we're going to save ourselves from a lot of problems. As it relates to those people from the Ahbash, and if you want to know about them and their aqid in detail, we have people here who used to be about that nonsense. Our religion tells us, don't argue and spend your time debating with those people. It's a virtuous issue. The Messenger of Allah told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَا زَعِيمُ بَيْتٍ فِي رَبَدِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُهَقَّى. I will be the guarantor, I will be responsible for you in a place that is close to the paradise for the ones who leave off arguing even though the truth is with you. Those people are not looking to come to your way. They're not looking to know what you are about. They're not looking to get off of what they're on. They're looking to make takfir of you, and then after that, blood is going to be shed. Either your blood or their blood. So the issue of dealing with those people is a clear issue. We stay away from them, and we have nothing to say to them other than what Allah Ta'ala told us to say when He described the believers. إِذَا خَاتَبُهُمَ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامَ. If the ignorant people address them, they say to them, السلام. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى الثَّبَاتِ وَالتَّوْفِيقِ. وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَمَّا بَعْدُ. That is the issue as it relates to the Muslims. If one of us has any doubt whatsoever concerning the Islam of another person, if you have any doubt concerning the Islam of another person, you have to view him and deal with him and look at him as if he is a Muslim. It is not your job to open up anyone's chest and to get into the inner core of his mind to find out his sincerity and the reality of his claim. That's not your job. It is better to be wrong in identifying his Islam or his kufr than it is to be wrong in making an absolute statement or ruling on him that he is a disbeliever. That's as it relates to the believing people. The man is claiming to be a Muslim, no matter what you see from him, that is from the actions of kufr, you have to refrain from pronouncing takfir on the individual. But as it relates to the people who we see and we know, that they have the understanding of disbelief. They claim to be Muslim, but we know based upon what they believe that they're outside of the fold of Al-Islam. Those types of people, it's not permissible for us to have any hesitation in pronouncing kufr on them and takfir on them. Louis Farrakhan and the people from the Nation of Islam claim to be Muslim. And they will give you the salam, and they claim that they pray and they do other things that are from the religion of Al-Islam. And their women claim that they dress and they cover up, and that's the hijab of Al-Islam. They can make claims all day long, but as long as they continue to think and to believe that Elijah Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, they're outside of the fold of Al-Islam. As long as they believe that Farooq Muhammad came down in the person that Allah came down in the person of Farooq Muhammad, then they're outside of the religion of Islam. And it's not permissible for anyone from the Muslims to be in doubt as to their disbelief. The disbelief of the Christians and the Jews is clear. It's not permissible to do as Imam Warathuddin Muhammad and the Imams of that community when they misguide the people by telling the people that the Jews and the Christians are our brothers. If there is a person here who follows and respects and he is under the leadership of Imam Warathuddin Muhammad or any of those Imams, wallahi, that is a lie to think that the Jews and the Christians are believers. And to be in doubt in this issue, there is a problem in your understanding. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. Verily they have disbelieved, those people who say that Allah is Al-Masih, Isa ibn Maryam. Allah himself made taqfir of those people. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, as it relates to the Jews and the Christians, to show you that they are not our brothers in no religion. من سمي بي ولا يؤمن بي من اليهود والنصارى فالنار أولى النار أولى النار أولى. Any Jew and any Christian who hears about me and he doesn't believe in me, then the hellfire has more right to him than anything else. And the paradise is haram for him. So those types of people, we can't be in doubt as to their Islam. They are not from the believers. Recently, for those of you who have been keeping abreast of the news, you heard of the death of the leader of Syria by the name of Hafiz Assad. Hafiz, the one who preserves, maintains, and protects. Assad, the one who is a lion. His name was Hafiz Assad, the protected lion. Wallahi, people have names, and their names have nothing to do with the reality of their condition. His name is Ahmed, but he has nothing to do with being praiseworthy. He has nothing to do with that. Hafiz Assad belonged to a group of people there in Syria who are called the Nusayriya. The Nusayriya are a group of Shiites, Batiniya, people who believe in esoteric knowledge. They don't believe in what is apparent. There's a deeper hidden meaning to everything. From what they believe and what they say is that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he is Allah. And Ali ibn Talib live in the sun. And Ali ibn Talib has made it halal for men and women to invite each other over by one of their houses, and they have orgies. This is a part of their religion. For you to have any doubt as to their kufr is not permissible. They're outside of the realm of the religion of al-Islam. The people who claim to be followers and supporters of Iran and the dawah of those people, the Rafida, those people who hate the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're outside of the religion. So the point is, ikhwan, the kufr and the Islam is distinct. قَتَّبَيِّنَ الرُّشْتُ مِنَ الْغَيْثِ. Verily, guidance is clear from misguidance. For the one who wants to know, the guidance is clear from the misguidance. If a person is a Muslim, or he's claiming to be a Muslim, and he comes to you and he gives you the salam, and you don't know that individual, but he looks like a bum, and he has a 40 ounce in his hand, and a blunt in his ear, but he says, As-salamu alaykum, you have to give him back the salam. You have to give him back the salam. But if that same man came to you and you knew for a fact that he thought that Elijah Muhammad was the Messenger of Allah, and he thought that the religion of Africa was the best religion, but we're all brothers, so I'm giving you salams because you're Muslim and we're all on the same boat, then you have to not give him the salam. You say to that individual, wa alaikum, whatever you say back to you, whatever it is. So let us be careful about this issue, ikhwan. I want to make a special announcement here concerning the number of people in our community. Our community clearly is growing on a daily basis. But we find the people who come to the classes, the same amount of people. So it causes us to wonder, is it because the people are reading on their own and the people are coming to learn on their own? We don't think that's the case. Because we're still hearing whacked out statements. We're still seeing people getting divorced the wrong way. We're still seeing how people are behaving and acting, what's being said and being done. It's a clear indication that the people ain't learning. People on the same page that they were, or even worse than they were yesterday. So we say, when the people make an effort to come to the Juma at this time, I believe that they can make the same effort to come out to the classes to learn about their religion. To come out to the classes to learn about what your religion is saying. So when we first came, the people were about the hype. The masjid used to be like it is right now on this floor. But in order to be a serious student, you have to have some patience. After a month or two, that's when you really start to see who really is serious and who's really down.
So we want to invite the people to continue to come out to support the classes, the Arabic classes that are on Saturday and Sunday that are going to resume, inshallah, next week because of the trip that we're going to be taking this over the weekend. As for the first level brothers, the class will be available. But the rest of you brothers who are claiming to be about this dawah, wallahi, you sitting down like that being comfortable, you're not going to elevate and you're not going to grow if that's what you're going to, that's what your minhaj is going to be. To sit down and just to work and to go home and to hang out. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of these affairs and issues for us and to protect us from the zalat that the shaytan wants us to fall into by making the mukhalifat of the minhaj as-sahih. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والثبات.